Fred Film Radio, from the 1st to the 8th of October, is joining the Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 35th Pordenone Silent Film Festival, Le Giornate del Cinema Muto, and I'm very pleased to be joined by James Curtis, who is a biographer, and he's written many books on many of the early Hollywood personalities, and also written a book on William Cameron Menzies, who is, there's a focus on his work here at the festival, and it's been delightful for me to discover some of the films in the program, and I'm very pleased to be joined by James Curtis. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, first of all, for our listeners who might not be familiar with Menzies, would you like to maybe introduce him to them?
Well, Menzies was an art director who developed production design, the idea that one artistic sensibility takes control of everything within the frame, not just the sets. And he essentially started as a traditional art director, but was trained as an illustrator, not an architect, like a lot of these guys were. And so he developed the concept in the mid-1920s in Hollywood of developing continuity boards that would allow for the mapping out of a scene shot by shot in advance. And in such a way, he was able to control the full content of the frame.
So his work as a production designer, what time frame are we talking about? When did he start?
He started in Fort Lee, New Jersey in 1917. He died in 1957. His last credit was Around the World in 80 Days.
Right, which is also a spectacular film.
Yeah.
And can you notice like an evolution in the style of his work?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's my talk today, this afternoon, is on Menzies' evolution from being a straight art director into someone who could see the value in plotting an entire film in advance, pre-visualizing a film in advance, and the various elements that he brought into play as a result of that, culminating with the making of one of the early sound features, which he storyboarded from start to finish, shot by shot, a process that he repeated more frequently in the 1930s and into the 40s, essentially co-directing a film like Our Town in 1940, or King's Row, For Whom the Bell Tolls, etc. And, of course, we know about his work on Gone with the Wind, that he essentially was responsible for the entire visual design of Gone with the Wind.
They're all masterpieces. Mm-hmm. The ones that you mentioned, I've seen them, and they're amazing films. But you've mentioned, I know that we're at a silent film festival, but you mentioned that he directed one of the early sound films. Can you tell us a little bit about
that? Well, that's Bulldog Drummond. And as you know, when they were making films at that time with sound, it was still a rather crude process, and they were hiding microphones and telephones and lamps and things like that. And the cliche, and actually the worst aspect of early talkies, is having all the actors clustered around a hidden microphone and delivering very static, stage-bound dialogue. And Menzies decided that if he designed every shot as he would with a silent film in advance, then they could work out the technical details of where the microphone goes, et cetera, so you wouldn't end up with that kind of static exchange. And so Bulldog Drummond, which was made in early 1929, is one of the most fluid of the very early talking pictures, and of course it was the first film that audiences heard the voice of Ronald Colman, and that in itself was a major milestone in films.
Great. Has it survived to this day?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay, so it can be looked up.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about a little bit about the films that are presented in the program at the festival here in Pordenone. Mm-hmm. Can you mention a few titles maybe that stand out of the selection and that are particularly...
Well, the big one, of course, is Thief of Baghdad, which is going to be shown on Saturday night. Menzies really made his name on that film, and there's an example of illustration as transferred to the screen. He brought the values of illustration to the screen, and Thief of Baghdad is as much about its architecture and its design as it is about anything else. The action involved in it, of course, is centered on Douglas Fairbanks. But within the world of the thief. It has nothing to do with reality, and it's one of the most thorough jobs of design up to that point in American films. Very expensive film, and it could not have been brought off by just anybody. It took somebody like Fairbanks, who could afford essentially to finance his own film, and nobody could tell him no. They ended up spending $1.7 million on it, which was an extraordinary amount of money for a feature film in 1923. Thief of Baghdad is very important. As you get into the late 20s, Menzies was the first man to get an Academy Award for Art Direction in 1928. And two of the films being shown, as a matter of fact, are the films that brought him the first Academy Award for Art Direction. The first is The Dove with Norma Talmadge, which survives at the moment as an incomplete feature. They're showing five reels of it. The other is Tempest with John Barrymore. Those two films together are marvelous examples of how Menzies was able, A, to create entire fantasy worlds for the action, and B, how Menzies himself laid out an individual sequence in advance to the point where you can see his fingerprint. This is especially true on Tempest because he had several directors on Tempest, but yeah. You wouldn't notice it by seeing how fluid and consistent the film is, and that's due to Menzies' design work on it.
That's right, because I have read about the Tempest and the different directors that worked on it. But because Menzies was part of the project, you know, that you know, it was kept together. So the transition from him, you know, to being a director for him wasn't so drastic, I guess, because he always had a control over the project.
Yeah, the earliest working out of a sequence that we have an example of is with The Bat, which was made in 1925. And on the back of one of the art boards for The Bat is a sequence of thumbnail sketches where he's working out the opening sequence. There's a murder right at the beginning of The Bat. And you can see how Menzies is trying to figure it out shot for shot so that they know exactly what's going to happen in that entire sequence. That's the first. It became very sophisticated later on, of course. But as he went on, he got bolder and bolder in terms of his thoughts and designs, and he was allowed more room to create the film that's being shown on Saturday, The Woman Disputed, is an excellent example of that. Again, multiple directors were on that film. It's beautifully designed, beautifully laid out, and whole sequences are obviously directed by Menzies from the aspect of the camera. He didn't talk to the actors very much, and he really didn't understand how to direct an actor. So he stayed behind the camera. But one of the reasons The Woman Disputed, I think, is so successful as a film is because of Menzies and the fact that from beginning to end, it's his visual sensibility throughout.
We mentioned in the introduction that you wrote a book on Menzies, which is called William Cameron Menzies,
The Shape of Films to Come. That's a play on the H.G. Wells story that he directed, The Shape of Things to Come.
I see, yeah. And I'd just like to know what sort of attracted you in wanting to write this book, to research on his life.
Well, I'd always been surprised that there hadn't been a book about William Cameron Menzies. And I kept waiting for one to appear. And at one point in the late 1990s, I decided to inquire. And so I made contact with the Menzies family and asked if somebody was doing this, and nobody was, and they had a lot of artwork that had survived from the early period. And so slowly we started to pull the thing together. It took 16 years to do it, off and on.
And what was what was the research like? What was the process like?
Well, early on, of course, is trying to interview whoever you can. I got there a bit late for some of the people I would have liked to have talked to. Fortunately, his younger daughter survived at that point. She has since died. But I was able to talk to some terrific people, including two of probably the most influential production designers of the next generation, Richard Silbert and Ken Adam, and both of them apprenticed under William Cameron Menzies, and both of them had warm memories of him. From that, it was just a matter of going through his materials, what was left behind. I discovered, for instance, that during the time that he was making Things to Come in England for Alexander Korda, that he wrote weekly letters home to his wife telling her what was going on, and all of those were kept. So we have part of the book is William Cameron Menzies' own account in his own words of the making of Things to Come, which was certainly a seminal science fiction film as well as a milestone in British cinema as well. tracking down his words was a job because he was a man that didn't give a lot of interviews. He was always behind the scenes, if you will, and so it was exciting in the sense that when you're digging out somebody like that from the distant past, any little discovery is a triumph, and that's the sort of thing that I enjoy most about doing this sort of work.
That's wonderful. I'm definitely going to get my hands on a copy of that book. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Matt.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.